Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 129. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about dexmedetomidine-associated hypotension in critically ill patients, answer the drug information question, what side effects occur with long-term use of metronidazole, and share a resource for patient safety in critical care. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode129. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The article for this episode is titled Predictors of Dexmedetomidine-Associated Hypotension in Critically Ill Patients. The lead author is Anthony T. Gerlach, and this was published in the International Journal of Critical Illness and Injury Science in September 2016. Dexmedetomidine is a popular sedative for use in critically ill patients. Hypotension is a common side effect that may limit the dose or even use of dexmedetomidine. The authors of this study sought to determine predictors of dexmedetomidine-associated hypotension. The study was a retrospective study covering four ICUs within a single center. Patients who were hypotensive at baseline were excluded. 283 patients met the inclusion criteria. The primary endpoint was the finding of hypotension, which the authors defined as a mean arterial pressure less than 60 millimeters of mercury. Hypotension was experienced by 42.8% of patients in the study. The median MAP nadir was 54 millimeters of mercury. After multivariate analysis, the risk factors associated with dexmedetomidine-related hypotension were, number one, the baseline mean arterial pressure, number two, the Apache 2 score, and number three, history of coronary artery disease. The hypotensive group had an average baseline MAP of 82 millimeters of mercury, and more patients in the hypotensive group had a baseline MAP of less than 70. The authors concluded dexmedetomidine-associated hypotension was common and occurred in over 40% of patients. The current analysis identified a baseline MAP less than 70, history of coronary artery disease, and increasing Apache 2 score as factors independently associated with the development of hypotension. High-dose dexmedetomidine was not significantly associated with increased risk of hypotension. Clinicians should use dexmedetomidine cautiously in patients with low baseline blood pressure and increasing severity of illness. Further trials are needed to determine factors associated with the development of hypotension and potential impact of protocols on minimizing the risk of this adverse effect. Despite being a single-center study, several elements suggest the results may be generalizable to other ICUs. Number one, no patient received a bolus of dexmedetomidine. The 1 mic per kilo over 10-minute bolus of dexmedetomidine is still listed in prescribing information as a potential treatment option. However, it is not commonly used in clinical praxis due to excessive side effects. The dose range for dexmedetomidine was up to 1.4 mics per kilo per hour, which is a commonly used maximum dose range. However, only one-third of the patients in the study received a dose greater than 1 mic per kilo per hour. And finally, excessive titration, which would be a dose adjustment more frequent than every 30 minutes, was similar in both the hypotensive and non-hypotensive group, 15.4 versus 19.8%. The drug information question for this episode is what side effects occur with long-term use of metronidazole. Peripheral or optic neuropathy and rarely encephalopathy may occur with prolonged metronidazole use. Long-term use of metronidazole usually occurs when treating a liver abscess. Most case reports I've seen indicate side effects such as peripheral or optic neuropathy and encephalopathy are reversible upon stopping the metronidazole. There may be a cumulative neurotoxic dose of metronidazole, but case reports range from 228 grams as the cumulative neurotoxic dose, down to one case report with a patient experiencing neuropathy after just 3.8 grams before toxicity. And the resource for this episode is from the Patient Safety Network at the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. They host a series of web-based morbidity and mortality cases. You can find the cases from the link in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode129. Some of the most recent cases are cognitive overload in the ICU, lost in sign-out and documentation, and benefits versus risks of intraosseous vascular access. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just bookmark and use the link pharmacyjoe.com/shop to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.